Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Pastor Prophetess Royal Poinciana Sprewell, and you have tuned into Matters of the Heart. I am so happy and elated that you have decided to join me this morning for this broadcast. For those of you that are tuning in, amen, on the East Coast, you know that it has just hit midnight, amen, and a new day is upon us. I love the midnight hour. When I started this show, I especially felt urgency for midnight. I felt midnight because of the midnight cry. You know, it's something about the midnight. You remember when Paul and Silas was in jail, and at midnight the angel came and there was an earthquake and shook the jail and freed them, and the man, he wanted to die, you know, just kill me now because I don't want to have to face the king after this one. But God allows a shaking and a shifting to happen. It's something that takes place in the wee hours of the morning and in the nighttime. And we know also that the night is also a time for us to be careful, because the devil, just as God operates and demonstrates in the hours of night, Satan and his imps and cohorts also operates in darkness, because he is Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is the Prince of Darkness. So we have to understand that how things in the spiritual realm operate. And when God, hallelujah, when God uses us and he allows us to come into his sheepfold, he teaches us and delegates certain things, how we should operate, and not only operate but have structure in what we do. That is training. That is teaching. That's what you learn, right? When you're in class, and when you're in Bible study, those are the basics, the things that we are taught, the tools that we learn in ministerial class. Those are things that when we elevate and go from level to level in ministry, how to fight and war, amen, in the spiritual realm. So I think it's imperative that we understand that even as we are moving spiritually in the light, there's also things moving spiritually in the darkness. And I tell my kids, and I don't attempt to go out. I'm one of those people. I used to be a night hopper, you know. I'm a night person. I do a lot of stuff too in the nighttime when I'm doing and working and that sort of thing. But I'm speaking of in my formal lifestyle when I wasn't a Christian and when I wasn't saved. I was always out at nighttime kicking it and partying. But I found out that it's a lot of things that happen, and you get in a lot of trouble after the wee hours of the night. That's when a lot of mess is kicked up and a lot of drama is unfolded. And if you just sit your tail at home, you avoid a lot of those problems and things that happen that are very problematic, especially being out in the streets. And a lot of times, folks, they just be crazy. They running rapid. They doing all kind of stuff. And I'm not telling you that things won't come to you, because they can come to you. But that's why you have to be shielded. That's why you have to be protected. That's why you have to be prayed up. That's why you have to pray around about your house, pray around your home. That's why you have to ask the angels of God to shield you and protect you, because angels are released on our behalf. And you do have to know your weaponry and how to release them in the atmosphere so that they will work on your behalf. However, they are already placed on assignment. As soon as you come into the sheepfold as a Christian, as a saint of God, God is so good that he even allows the angels. I believe it even goes further than that. Let me take it further back. When you're born into the world, God gives you an angel. to be on your work on your behalf, to be on assignment for you, for your protection of your life. I believe it's those things, amen, that we do where they may back off, but they are there for a certain period of time throughout our lives, and they are assigned to us. That is my personal belief, and just from what I have been taught and through my ministerial studies, those divinity studies and those sorts of things, I have come to that conclusion. So what I believe is that we have to know that we are protected by the Lord. We are protected because we are his sheepfold. That's why the word of God says that ten thousands upon thousands, they can come nigh to us, but none can come nigh to thee. He's not going to let them, these demonic forces, overtake us or overcome us. You understand what I'm saying? That's why even with the canker worm, can't even eat up your ground when you get into the place in God. Am I going to tell you that when you become a saint that you're not going to have any problems or you're not going to have any issues in your life? God forbid. Of course you will, because we all go through this life and this portal as we're going through life, trials, tribulations, and circumstances. And they come not just to make us stronger, not just to teach us, not just to enlighten us, but to allow us to have an experience and to show God, are we able, just like Abraham, when he had to sacrifice his son, he did not go through, of course, we know, with the sacrifice, because the angel allowed a lamb to be in the bush. And just like the Lord does, he allows a lamb to be in the bush as we go through various trials and tribulations and things we go through. But the Lord will allow our faith to be tested to see how strong we are and to see how faithful you are. And are you going to stand the course, and are you going to yet trust him and believe him in the midst of the adversity that you are yet facing in your life? And that's where people fall short at, is because God said, if you just would have trusted me in this, I would have had your back. But you didn't trust me. You didn't believe in me. You wavered. You complained through the whole process. I know I have done that. I'm guilty of it. I know you have too. But one thing I have to say is that you have to reshift your focus. Even when it looks the bleakest, when it looks the darkest, you have to say, you know what? I know God is in control of this no matter what is going on. I know that he has my back in this situation, in this circumstance. So as saints and children of God, we have to pray diligently, ask the Lord to cover us in the blood, continue to do the things that we need to do, to walk the walk of faith, to walk the walk of truth, trusting, hoping, believing God, and knowing that whatever we're going through, whatever we're faced with, he is in control of our destiny and our situation. And that's what's going to pull you through. That's what's going to help you to make it through your tomorrow. And I know a lot of you are facing illness, and you have pain in your body, and you have a lot of physical problems. And that's when you don't feel good, or when you are sick and you have an illness in your body, you don't feel up to doing a lot of things. So what you have to do is you have to continue to seek God even in your weakest hours, even in your weakest points in your life, because that's when your second wind, that's when he'll give you that additional strength. Don't you know that the Lord said that he wouldn't even allow the diseases of the Egyptians to come upon the children of Israel because of their belief and faith in him and trust in him? He was going to shield and hold back those things. I'm not talking about when the plagues were released. I'm speaking about overall health. He will give you overall health even when everything else is happening and people catching this and catching that. Am I going to tell you you can't get sick? Of course you can. But what I'm telling you, because we are in the human body, we are in the flesh, but it's certain things that can be avoided if we stay connected to the master. Because we remember when I talked about last week us being a branch of the vine, and Jesus is the vine, and he said that his father is the husbandman, which is basically the farmer. That's what we have to know, that how we're connected in the kingdom. A lot of people are getting ran over because they don't know their rights. They don't understand how they are connected to the kingdom. And when you understand how you're connected, I can't get enough of how Jesus, he demonstrated, he talked to the disciples, and he told them a lot of things way ahead of time when he said that in 3 days this temple will be destroyed, but it'll be raised up again. No one knew what he was talking about. The disciples themselves didn't even understand the metaphor behind it. But he was talking about his body being torn down, how they were going to be crucified him, but how God the Father was going to raise him up from the dead, and he was going to be seated in the seat of glory. He was speaking those things already, but they couldn't understand it because their mind could not perceive the spiritual things of God. Remember when they couldn't cast out the demon in the child, and the father said that the demon kept throwing him in the fire, and it was really causing turmoil and hurt and pain on the kid. And Jesus said, "Oh, ye a little faith," because they had not raised the bar to who they were. He knew who they were. That's why when he sent them out, he told them, "Don't take anything with you. Because I've given you what you have. You just got to work with what you got." And that's where you have to be. You have to understand who you are and what you got and where you're at. And when you understand those key concepts, it'll take you to a whole dimension, a whole nother level in your spirituality. And I think that's what we have to do as people of God. We've got to collect ourselves and understand truly who we are and how we are to operate in the kingdom and the things that we are to do and the things that we should be doing. And when we get a hold to that, I guarantee you that we're going to elevate and go higher and much in much more deeper places than we have ever been. And everybody talks about a revival. A revival this, a revival that. But we can't have a revival if we don't know who we are. We can't have a revival if we're not in position. We can't have a revival if we're not filled. We can't have a revival if we can't pour, if it can't be an overflow. Because that's how the revival starts. It starts and it's a dynamic effect. It keeps going. It's contagious. So it has to have an overflow. But if you have nothing to start it, how is it going to overflow and finish? It can't, because we have lost touch what we need to be doing in the house of God. And we talk about the kingdom of God. I'm in the kingdom. I'm the kingdom this, the kingdom builder that, the kingdom builder. Listen, the kingdom is paradise. The kingdom is in heaven. The kingdom is where the king sits. Listen. I know we caught up in that. We caught up in that word, but I want to let you know. And and for folks that are always talking about it ain't a heaven, it ain't a hell, I hear so much of it on TV, it just behooves me to say, I thought y'all didn't believe in God. But every time I turn around, I see somebody seated like they in heaven. I have somebody talking about they in the island like they in paradise. But there's only one paradise. That's the third level of heaven. That's where the king is seated. That's where his trail and his train remains. That's where He told Satan, don't you know that you walked on the mountains of fire? Don't you know where God's seat is so high that everything in the earth, above the earth, below the earth, everything within the earth is seen by his eyes and nothing is hidden before him? And I say, Jesus, have we forgotten that you can see the things that we are doing? Oh, my God. So we have to understand that we have to get into a place. We have to get into a place where we understand who we are, what we need to be doing, how this thing needs to be done, how this thing needs to be laid out, how it needs to be demonstrated to others, and how it needs to be manifested overall. So let us get into the Word of God. I thought it was, and really, I thought this was a really good word because, let me just get a drink here. Because this word is coming from Isaiah 55. And in Isaiah 55, it says, ho, everyone that thirst. I didn't deliberately do that. I promise I didn't. I actually forgot right there it starts off that way. But let's talk about this word thirst. Thirst, of course, y'all just heard me tell y'all to hold up 1 second. I need a drink of water. Let me tell y'all how I felt. I felt dry. My throat felt like it was kind of, you know, getting closed up just a little bit there, and I could feel my tongue just drying out, right? So it's the word thirst is the feeling of a need. You can feel you need something, right? Wanting to drink something is uncomfortable, right? But water is the opposite. So he says, everyone that thirsts, therefore, are you in a, do you have a need? Yes, Lord. What is it that you thirst for is my question on to you this morning. So God is saying, ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. Water is fluid. Water is lubrication. When you drink water, that's why he said, I am the living water. Remember the woman at the well? He who comes to me shall never thirst again. I'm the everlasting waters. He is the water. Okay? So he goes on to say, and he that hath no money. This word is literally in the Bible. M-O-N-E-Y. We know what money is. Money is what we need because we have a need, because we thirst for things. When you say when an uncomfortable feeling, an uncomfortable feeling is when you don't have. This almost could have been a good text for me to carry on in my Boss Millionaire Makers broadcast. But here we go. This is what the Holy Spirit gave me on this evening. He that hath no money. We know that we need money because it's an uncomfortable position when you don't have none, right? Because you need it to keep your lights on. You need it to keep your gas on. If you have water in your house, you need it for that. If you got to pay for trash, you need it for that. If you pay rent, you need it for that. If you have a mortgage, you need it for that. If you have a car, you need it for that. You need it for gas. You need it for all sorts of things. Take for your kids' education. You need it for that. You need it because you need to eat food on your table. You need clothes on your back. Am I right about it? So it's a lot of reasons why you need money. And in our world that we live in our culture, if you don't even have internet these days, I'm not talking about cable, because cable, you know, that's a luxury. But For those that didn't even have internet, it's hard to navigate in the life we live because mostly everything they want to tell you, go look at this, it's on the internet, go look there. The applications you got to fill out there, it's on the internet. So you almost need a computer or internet these days to do anything. But the Lord says, he that hath no money, come ye, buy. Come on, follow me, y'all, and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without a price. What is the Lord saying here? How is he going to tell you to come and to buy and to eat and to drink? He says, without money and without price. Only God can provide without having money. Only God can provide with something to you that don't even have a price on it. He can take the price tag off of it. God can do that. In the word says this, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Come on, follow me, y'all. I'm going to say it again for you. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? When you work, you're working to eat. When you work, you're working to satisfy. You're laboring for something that you feel that's going to be sufficient at the end of the day, that's going to produce something for you because you want to see some sort of result. Hearken diligently unto me, this is what God says, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. When we talk about fatness, we're talking about, when the Lord speaks about fatness, he's always talking, remember he talked about the fat calves and those sorts of things, he's always talking about providing more than enough. Remember, Joseph told the Pharaoh to store up for 7 years, and when he saw the fat calves, he didn't know what they represent. He was talking about the 7 years of famine and 7 years of harvest. So he's saying you're going to have fatness. This is what the Lord's saying. He's telling you you're going to have these things, but you haven't even have to pay the price for them. Listen, here it is. Incline your ear and come unto me. Word incline means to bend forward, to move toward something, T-O-W-A-R-D, to move toward him, to lean in. Okay? Incline and come unto me here to understand. Sometimes we have to open up our spiritual ears so that we can hear what the Lord is saying. And your soul shall live to have life more abundantly. Look here. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. This is the things that he was speaking to the children of Israel. However, I'm going to relate it to you on today and show you how this applies in our generation, in our life, in our world, how this applies to the saints of God. At the time, he was speaking specifically to the children of Israel, talking to them. This is what he was going to provide for them. Okay? Now, when the Lord talks about a covenant, that is an agreement. That is saying, you know what? If I agree to do something for you, I'm not going to take back. I'm giving you my word on this. This is my bond. I won't turn back from this. Okay? My word is good on this. I am in agreement with you on this, and it's no taking it back. And I think a lot of times people don't understand what it means to really give your word on something. And I had to learn that. I wasn't the best person, and I'm be honest, on keeping my word back in the day, because I didn't understand what it meant to really give a covenant. But when God says he give you a covenant, listen to this, it's his promise. It's a bond. Remember I told you it's a commitment, guaranteed. That means it ain't going nowhere. He's pledging to do this thing for you. It's like a contract, baby. That means his word is good. If he said it, it's coming to pass. Hallelujah. And I love that because his word is good. His word is good. He told you, I promise you, you can take it to the bank and cash it. Just like that check is good. When he tells you something, his word is good. And I want you to hold on to that, because that's his promise. Even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to my people, a leader and a commander to the people. Remember, they wanted to have a king. They wanted to have Saul. And the prophets told him, said, no, you have God. But the children of Israel, they were really, they said, no, they were reluctant to that. No, we want our own king. We want to see somebody. Uh-huh. They got what they wanted, didn't they? So what I'm saying is sometimes we have to be careful. Why am I going there? Because sometimes we have to be careful what we ask for. Because God is a man. Listen here, God is a man of his word. He going to give it to you. And if he give it to you, you better know what you're getting yourself into and understand that everything might not be what you thought it was going to be when you get it. Because that's the type of God we serve. He says, and 5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee before the Lord thy God. And I'll tell you in this manner, that God is going to allow people of different nations to come unto you and be a blessing to you. I'm prophesying that these people that you would have never imagined would do things for you are going to do things for you, because God has allowed a specific blessing to come your way, because you have inclined your ears unto his voice to hear what he is saying. He's good like that, y'all. He says, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Do you know what it means to be glorified, to have glory? I'm telling you one thing. People don't understand that when God puts a blessing on you, nobody, no devil, no angel in hell can hold you back for what God has in store for you. Don't you know that glory? I'm gonna explain that to y'all, what it really means. When you have glory, it's high renown. That means like a high level of respect. You have not only just a high level of respect, but you have such a high blessing pronounced upon your life. That's a high level. A glory also goes along with favor. That means when people see you, they respect you. They love on you, okay? They give you honor. You're a notable person when you have glory on you. And people can see the glory. You don't even got to say nothing to folks. If you carry and walk in the glory of God, it's seen upon your life. There's nothing that you don't have to do anything. It rests upon you. That's what glory is. God allows glory, and some folks may not agree with me on this, but if you look and you understand what the word glory means, you'll understand. It's to have prestige. It's to have honor. to be have a certain distinction about a particular person, a level of greatness, okay, majesty, all of that, notoriety, all that falls upon this word glory. And when you carry glory, it rests upon your life. A lot of famous people have glory. How can a famous person have glory? They ain't saved. You don't have to be saved to have glory. God, do you understand the word of God when he says, I raise up kings and I pull them down? He that allows glory to fall upon those whom he wishes, it's his desire. He gave King Nebuchadnezzar glory. King Nebuchadnezzar did not worship God. He had to be broken to understand who God was. And it took God to break him down from his pride until he realized who God was and to give God the glory. But God had given him so much glory upon his life, even in his days of worshiping many false gods, that he got beside himself. And as he stood in his house and said, didn't I build all of this? At that very hour, he was driven out in the wilderness as a madman, had lost his mind, was sitting there in the dirt with fingernails that was long. I mean, I used to do nails because I was a nail tech, and his nails, I can imagine how they were claws because he had lost his mind. Until God said the appointed time, allow him back into his kingdom. And when he came back to himself, he glorified God. So what I'm telling you is that he will allow the glory to fall on whom he will. But when you are in the kingdom of God as a child of God and the glory of God rests upon your life, there's nothing that nobody and nothing can do about it, because it is what God has ordained for your individual and particular life. I look and I say, wow, certain people, and I see that thing of glory rest upon them. Okay, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I love this. To seek after God is to attempt to find, right? And a lot of times people don't understand, especially those that are agnostics or those that are atheists and people of that nature. They can't understand, they can't perceive who God is. A lot of times they blame it on or say, well, I don't understand because, you know, how does this happen in the world and how has that happened if God exists and this sort of thing? God is a God of a secret. And if you understand that God has such a beautiful relationship with Moses, that when Moses was on the mount, when he was on Mount Sinai, he told him that, Moses, you know, I love you. I can imagine the conversation. Moses, I love you. Much as I love you, you still can't see me and live. There's no way. But what I will let you do is see the back part of me. And he allowed him to see the back part of him. And that's all he see. And I'm speaking of God, not Jesus. God and Jesus are two individuals, y'all. They not the exact same person. I want y'all to get that really clear, because I know people get that and really don't have a clear perspective on that. And remember, I keep telling y'all, when Jesus was getting baptized, he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. When the dove came down on him, like the dove came in the form of the Holy Ghost came down on him in the form of a dove, he was letting them know, this is my son. I'm pleased with him. Jesus didn't go back up to himself and say, oh, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, or separate himself. No, no, no. They're two individuals. They operate as one. That's why he kept telling them when they said, well, what does God look like? What does God talk like? What does God act like? You're seeing them. You're seeing them. They didn't understand it metaphorically what he was saying, and people have actually taken that literal. But what he was saying is that I'm so much like my Father that when you see me, you see him. When you hear me, you hear him. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? I can get what he was saying, because he said, I'm so much like him. I'm a replica of him. If you see me, you see him. If you hear me, you hear him. I'm just like the man. That's my dad. That's my Father. That's my Abba. I love him. I love him so much. I'm just like him. I idolize him because he is my Father. And that's what he was trying to get the people to understand, the Pharisees and the scribes. He was trying to tell them why they was arguing, is there a heaven, is there a hell, is it not? They couldn't understand, they couldn't comprehend, but he was trying to break it down to them, let them know, I'm God wrapped in the flesh. Oh, Jesus, my Lord, we're going to learn one day. Before you come, I hope we do. I hope we get it, God. If you seek the Lord, means to attempt to find him. Wow. In the process of, which is the word, well, that's what it means, he may be found. So what does that mean? He says, seek the Lord while he may be found, because it's going to come a period of time where he's not going to be able to be found. I'm going to say that again. He says, seek me while I may be found. Because this is not in the word. I'm telling you. Because there's going to come a time period where he's not going to be able to be found if you don't find him now. So what is the Lord saying? I'm going to break it down to you. He's saying that we are living... hold on, because I've got to really express this here. So what he's saying is we are living in a time period now where we're living in grace. And everybody's saying, remember he said it's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and we hear about all these negative and bad things happening, but he's saying, y'all thinking it's so bad now, but he hasn't even gotten to that point yet. No horses have been released. I know you hear that, the white horse been released, the pale horse been released, the red horse been released, the black horse been released. No horse has been released because that hour hasn't even come yet. We're nowhere near the 7 years of tribulation, y'all. I'm here to tell you that we're living in grace. This is one of the best times that we're going to see in earth in this period right now. I speak this as the oracle of God, as a true standing prophet in the land. I'm sitting in the desert and I'm telling you this. We are in the presence about the best time we're going to live in this earth. And I'm telling you this. He said, seek me while I may be found, because all this grace that we're having right now, all this grace, all this stuff that everybody is doing while they're clowning, acting the fool, showing they behind on TV, acting up, and all this stuff that you see everybody doing all across the world, acting a fool, he's saying that this time is going to come to an end. And when that does happen, I'm taking my people up out of here. So you better find me while I may yet be found. If you don't reach me in this point, if you don't reach me in this hour, if you don't reach me in this day, I won't be able to be reached. Because the Bible says that there is going to come an hour when he raptures his people up out of here. And he said there's going to be an hour where they're going to seek death and it shall not be able to be found. Because death, Hanasiah, is going to be taken up out the earth. People are going to be falling off bridges and everything. And they're going to get back up and walk and go have half limbs. I promise you that. Oracle God, I lie to you not, because God says this is the hour that in the day that is coming upon us. I promise you that this is going to happen. I promise you. But what you have to do
is in this hour of grace that we have. We're living under grace because God says, my mercies are new every day. And because of the grace of God that we are living yet under, he is allowing us time and periods to get it to right with him, to get it together with him. He said, I'm pleading. Remember when he said, I plead with you. He says, I plead with you. Do you know what it means? Have you ever plead with somebody? I'm going to tell you, I have many a times. Please, it's almost, you're almost begging them. Please, can you please try to understand where I'm coming from? Can you try to just look at it from a different perspective? Can we just talk about this one more time? How can we come to an agreement? How can we make arrangement on this thing? How can we come together? Enlightenment on this subject right here. How can we work this thing out? I don't want this to fall. I don't want this to fall through the bucket. How can we bring this together? And you're saying, and you're talking to them. I understand your point of view. I understand. But can we work this thing out? What can we do to make this right? And then the person, you know, they stubborn where I just don't want to work it out. You know, I've got my point of view. I'm standing on what I mean, and that's that. And then you're saying, but I'm pleading with you. I'm almost begging you. Come on, let's work this thing out. But they still hard not. That's how some of folks have been to God. He's been pleading with you. He's been having so much mercy on you. You're still drinking. You're still partying. You're still smoking. You're still having illicit sex. He don't let all types of disease come up on you. You're still out there. He said, ain't that enough for you? How much more you want? I didn't cause that to come upon you. Satan did. How much more you going to do? I'm pleading with you. I've given you over 3 lies. They said, cat got 3. I don't gave you 10. Come on here. Oh, y'all got me preaching on this morning. Because God is pleading with us. I know he pleaded with me. I know he did. He came to me in dreams and said, listen, this is what it's going to be like. I want to give you a good synopsis of this. Let me tell you, my dream. I didn't know I was going to go there, but this is my testimony. So this is what happened. I was a sinner. I was laying in the bed with my man. So we was asleep. And see, when the gift comes without repentance, I want y'all to know what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you an example of my personal life to give you an understanding of what this pleading means. What do you mean, prophetess, when you say the Lord is pleading with us? I'm going to give you a prime example. So I was laying in the bed, like I said, at the time, who was my man? I'm not with no man no more. I don't do that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I've been sober and abstinent for a long time. So I'm proud of that, okay, from where I used to be. So I was in the bed, and I was sleeping. I had a dream. I always been to church, you know. I still will go to church, you know. I just ask the Lord, forgive me and help me, you know. You know how us backsliders and sinners used to do. So I was in the bed and I was sleeping, and he was laying next to me, and I had a dream. And the dream was, actually it was the midday when this dream happened. It wasn't at nighttime, it was midday. And then I was asleep, and I was walking down the street with my friend that's a pastor now. Actually, both of them are pastors, but at the time, we were just lay members in the church. So we were walking down the street, but we all was in church. And so I was walking, and I heard this lady, I heard a horn go off, and the horn was so loud and distinctive, you would never have heard it a day in your life. I don't care if you hear sirens, I don't care if you hear tornado sirens, I don't care if you hear war sirens, you've never heard the trumpet go off of the Lord. And when the trumpet sounded, I thought it was a cry, a war cry. And I said, oh, Lord, war has broken out because we were walking in the mystery. Actually, we had just left the church. So I was walking with my friends, and they disappeared. So I presume that they got caught up. And as I was walking, the lady said, "It's the Christ." She said, "It's the Christ." But she yelled it at the top of her voice, "It's the Christ," like that. And I heard children, people running, hiding, screaming, yelling, hollering, everybody running like going nuts. They going crazy. And all I seen was the sky was bright clouds. It was the clouds. I could see the clouds. I could see the light. And then it became pitch black, darkness. It was so black you couldn't even see in front of your face, y'all. I promise to you not. I lie not. And it got so black. And I said, "Jesus," I said, "Lord," I said, "Father, I don't did everything. I don't prophesy. Lord, I said, I don't help people. I don't took people in my house. I don't gave people clothes. I don't fed folks. God, don't you know how good of a person I am, Lord? Jesus, you can't leave me. I'm a good person, God. I do everything. I do everything, Lord. I'm all right. I'm a good person." And I'm telling him how good I am. I'm telling him all my works, y'all. I'm telling him how I don't fed people. I don't clothe them. Brought them in my house. Let folks come over and sleep and all this kind of stuff. And I'm telling him, like, this is, I'm pleading my case. All right? So I'm pleading my case. And this is what he said to me. "But thou hast not taken us under the sun." He said, "But thou hast one fault before me." He said, "Thou." They say God don't speak in historical language. Yes, he does. He said, "Thou." He didn't say, "But you." He said, "But thou hast one fault before me." And he didn't say what the fault was. But I knew in my mind what I had done. And when I had that, I woke up immediately next to that man. I got up so fast, y'all, from him. I was screaming and yelling and hollering, and I was like, "I want to get away from you," okay? And he woke up, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy. What's wrong with you?" "Yeah, I'm crazy for being with you. That's what I'm crazy for." So I'm here to tell you, that is a genuine case of what God example of pleading with one. So what I'm saying is, when we have to understand, when God talks about he's pleading with us, that means that he's giving us time and time again to get it right with him. However, we consistently or continuously do the same thing that is opposing to what he has called us, missioned us to do. So let me go on with this word here, because I don't want to get so caught up on one thing that I don't finish out, and I'm almost done, okay? It says, "Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way." Now, this goes right into from what I said. That's what I was doing. I was living in sin, living in fornication. He said, "Let the wicked forsake his way." Forsake means to leave, to drop, let go, right? "And the unrighteous man, his thoughts." Don't you know it's a lot of people that have a lot of negative mind. Their thinking is corrupt, and that's why they come up with these all of these wicked ideas to hurt people and to do things, because their mind is corrupt. Their mind is that's why the idle mind is the devil's workshop, because Your mind is not occupied. Let this mind be in you, which is in also Christ Jesus. Have and take on the mind of Christ. I promise you, you have to cast down those thoughts, those things that come to your mind that's not of God. We have ideas that come to our mind every day and a lot of things that are not spiritual, but you have to cast them down. You got to, even if you got to say the blood of Jesus over that one, that's what you need to do. Okay, so it says, and let him return unto the Lord. And that's what I eventually did, returned unto the Lord. I'm not going to tell you immediately I did because that would be a lie, and I'm not going to go there. But eventually I worked on it, and I got it right, and I got saved. This is what he's saying, return unto the Lord. Stop backsliding. And he will have mercy unto him. God is merciful. Remember I talked about his mercies are renewed every day. We don't know the day or the hour. Remember when the disciples were standing there staring in heaven, they was looking for Jesus. They got my voice. Remember when they were in heaven. Let me have a drink. When Jesus was caught up, the disciples stared at him. The angel said, why are you glazing up in heaven? The same way he has left, same way he's going to return. That's what the angel said to him. Now, let me continue here. Where am I? Help me, Holy Ghost. Okay, 7. And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Okay, I want to stay right there for pardon. Pardon is the act of forgiving, is to or to be forgiven of an error or offense. And we know offense to breach is to break a rule, a regulation, or a law. That's when to be, he said he's going to pardon. That means to forgive, to let go. That's why you hear criminals ask for pardons, asking for the government to pardon them of certain acts they have committed. That's why God is saying that I will blot out those things you have done, and I will forgive you. He said, why I may be found. Don't let it be too late. Don't let it come. Don't let the time and the hour pass. And then you attempt to get these things, attempt to come to me for forgiveness. But it's too late. The time has passed. 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay? This is how God is talking. This is, I'm going to finish a little bit of this, but I'm not going to finish it today. I'm going to continue this on our next show. And he talks about how his ways are not like ours, okay? The way he thinks is not, of course, it's not like ours, and we need to take on his mind, his mindset, the way he thinks. And he looks far beyond, even in our future, things that are going to happen for us later on down the line that we don't even understand how it's going to happen, how it's going to manifest. Let us pray, and I'm going to get ready to close out here. Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just ask, God, that everyone that's under the sound of my voice, that, Lord, if they are living in sin or any type of unforgiveness, God, or even if they have any wicked thoughts, anything we have done overall, myself included, and everybody, God, that's listening to this broadcast, Lord, just ask us, just help us. And we're asking, Lord, for your forgiveness for things that we have done, things we have said, Lord, things that is ungodly of you, because we don't, like you said, Lord, we don't think like you. Your ways are higher than ours, Lord. We need to raise the bar in what we're doing, Lord. Forgive and set free the backslidden. Lord, you said you come to set the captive free, and if a man shall be free, he will be free indeed by your power, by the spells of darkness, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch the minds of the people, God. Get a hold to them. Reclaim the backslidden, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, for every saint and every Christian that's on this broadcast listening in today, this morning, whether they're coming back and listening in, Lord, I ask you to give them the strength. Give them, God, the tools, the necessities that they need to fight this battle. Because every day we have to come against things that we're encountering in our lives that are difficult at times, and we don't know what to do and how to handle it. But, Lord, we know that if we trust in you and we believe in you, God, that you're going to make a difference in our lives. So, Lord, I ask today that you would touch your people as only you can. Touch their minds, touch their hearts, touch their souls, God. Give them the strength to go through. Give them what they need, Lord. You said, Lord, that you will be our provider. Lord, you said that we would have no variety with glory. That you said, God, that you would bless even with money and finances, Lord, because they could buy without even having the money. Lord, that is favor. And I understand that favor is better than money. So I ask, Lord, that you touch each and every one of your people that's listening under the sound of my voice today, God, that you give them favor, that you give them the glory, that you give them the renown, a renowned name even upon their lives, Lord. Let them, where they go, let them be blessed. When they go in, they're blessed. When they come out, they're blessed. Let them go forth as the head and not the tail, Lord. Let them go forth above and not beneath, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Thank you, Lord, for the turnaround. Thank you, Lord, for new projects and processes being set in place, Lord. Let them be a beacon and light in their neighborhood, in their home, in their community, Lord, in their churches, Lord. Let them do a work as of a good servant, that they are here faithful is my good servant. I want you to say that their name is good, Lord. Give them integrity, Lord, to walk and proudness, and Lord, every debt be canceled, even in their life, Lord, for we're not to be, and you said don't owe no man, because we're not to be indebted to none. So I'm asking you, Father, that you give favor and finances, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let your people, God, come to a new understanding of you, Lord. Let them walk in a new light. Change the hearts and the minds of your people. Turn over the old leaven and make them a brand new creature, Lord. For you said, he that is in you is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things shall be new and have become new. So we ask you, God, we walk by faith and not by sight. We believe and we trust in you, God, because you are the King of kings and Lord of hosts is your name. We believe in you because, Lord, you are our bright and our morning star. We know, God, that is in you that we trust, that we live, we move, and we have our being. We know without you we are nothing, because you are our bread of life. You are our hope, God. You are our trust for tomorrow. You are our hope for tomorrow. We live in you, God. We think in you, God. We act in you, and we don't even act like we used to, God, because we are no longer that old person, but we are brand new creatures in you, God. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for the turnaround. Thank you for how you're going to manifest it in your people, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray to our precious Lord and Savior, our precious Lamb of the Most High God. We thank you. Oh, thank you, Almighty God, who sits on the seat of heaven, and the earth is your footstool beneath. Oh, we praise you because your glory is throughout all the earth, and we see your handiwork everywhere. Thank you. I love you.
I thank you, my brothers. I thank you, my sisters, for tuning into the broadcast on this morning. I appreciate you, each and every one of you, and I'm praying for you. Whether I know your name or not, I'm praying for you. Believe me, I am praying for you, and I trust God that everything will be good in your life. This is Pastor Prophetess Royal Point Sienna Spreewell, your number one prophetess called to the nation for this generation. Y'all be blessed. I love you. Take care. And cover your families in the blood of Jesus by praying for them. I love you, and good morning and good night.